All right, we're going to start at the top of Zion with Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the issue about how a person should not cause undue fear among his family. And the Gemara was talking about the problems by Pilegesh Begiva and the result of imposing too much fear on one's family. So Gemara begins on the top of Zion Amud Aleph, continuing with that sugi of Lolam Yatil Adam Ema Yatero Toch Beitel. A person should not cause too much fear within his house. So Amaroi Bo, it's the third line down. Amar Bo Lolam Ayatil Adam Ema Yatira Betoch Beitel. Sherei Adam Gadol Etil Ema Yatira Betoch Beitel. That person should not act in a manner that produces too much fear in his house, or they're too fearful of him, because a great person did such a thing. Vehechilu davar gadol, and they fed him some big thing. So both of these are cryptic, and now the Gemara is going to say, what is that? Manu. Who's the Adam Gadol? That's Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. So now the Gemara questions, vehechilu, is it possible that they fed him something that was improper or unkosher, sakadatcha? Hashto, we have this in numerous places in Shas. Hashto, behematan shel tzadikim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala yadam. Even the animals of the tzadikim would not partake or of food that did not have trumos and mice was taken off properly. Then tzadikim atzman lo koshkein. Certainly tzadikim, Hashem would not be machshil them. Right? So it can't be that he possibly ate it. The Rabbeinu Tam here points out, it's interesting that the top of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's really, I mean, are you going to suggest that tzaddikim never make mistakes? That can't be the case, right? Because we know, even in the first parak in Shabbos, that Rabbi Shmuel was korea, and he was noteya the ner on Shabbos. So we see other places in Shabbos where tzaddikim make mistakes. So Rabbeinu Tam says this is unique or special to mida achila. It's only in eating improper items or tamei items, because that is a gnai. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam phrases it. It's a gnai to the tzaddik to eat something that is asur. So therefore, it's unique. When the Gemara brings this up, it brings it up always in the context of achila. And that's that Hashem protects the tzaddikim from eating that which is improper, or that which is not kosher, that which is tamay. So now the Gemara says, Ela bikshu l'halichilo davar gadol, that they wanted to feed him something big. So again, it's still cryptic. What is this davar gadol? So my new, what's this davar gadol? Eiver min achai. Right? They were going to give him something from a limb cut off of a live animal. Such an interesting case over here. Rashi explains the case that they had shechted an animal, and they were missing a piece of the animal. So the avodim got scared, because Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel obviously had imposed a certain amount of fear of himself in the house, and they were scared to bring him the shechuta animal without that piece missing. So they went in and they filled in the piece with an aver and a chai. They caught up another piece from another animal, and then they brought it in to fill the place of the piece that was missing. And therefore, they almost fed him aver and a chai, but Baruch Hashem, he was protected from it. So again, just another story reiterating the point, or reemphasizing the point that person should not present himself in a way that people are so afraid of him that they will do things to cover up their mistakes, because by covering up their mistakes, they're going to cause more problems or bigger problems for him. Right? Shalach le, so now you have a question. Shalach le marukfo the Rabbi Lazar. So marukfo was having a little problems or some trouble, and he sent a message to Rabbi Lazar. Bnei ha'adam ha'omdim alai ubiyadi l'masrom l'machut mahu. I have these people who are causing me problems. I mean, Rashi says, mechareifu megadeif, they're cursing me, right? They're treating me in a manner that's denigrating. And I have the opportunity to give them over to the government. I could be most of them in order to get rid of them, and therefore I could get rid of this problem. Mao, what's the din? So now it's interesting. The Gemara says, sirteit vekotavle. He lined the paper and wrote back to him. Well, this is the, as opposed to what Rav Yatar, when he sent the pasuk yesterday to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yosef wanted to conclude from that possibly that Rav Yatar was not a Gavur Rabbo because he didn't do Sirtut. So over here you see that he was Misartet. He writes the lines and he quotes a Pasuk. It says, Amarti Eshmera Derachai Michato Bilshoni Eshmera Lefi Machsom Baod Rasha Lenegdi. So right, I will Eshmera Derachai Michato prevent or protect my ways from doing sin. Bilshoni eshmar lefi machsom, right, my mouth, or I'll be protect my mouth by keeping it closed. Vod rasha negdi, even when the rasha is opposite me. So afopish rasha lenegdi, even though the rasha standing right there is causing the problems, eshmara lefi machsom, I still will remain silent. So Rav Elazar is responding to Markva that despite the fact that they are causing him problems or pain, that he should remain silent and that he should not turn them over to the Malchut. Shachlei kamitzari li tuva. He sent back to him again. They're causing me undue pain. It's too much already. I can't. Velo matzina de ikumbu. And I can't stand it anymore. I don't know what to do. So shachlei dom lashem vihit cholelo. Be silent to Hashem, right? And vihit cholelo, and you'll hope from him. So Gemara Darshan is dom lashem. If you're silent towards Hashem, v'hu yapilim l'cha chalalim chalalim, he will knock them down like many corpses. It's interesting, the Gemara in Chulin actually darshens the pasuk the opposite way around with regards to Aaron. When Aaron says, it says, v'yidom Aaron, there the Gemara darshens it, dom Hashem yitchalalo, af al pi, right, that Hashem was hipil chalalim chalalim, even though Hashem caused deaths, dom Hashem, remain silent. Meaning that was Vayidom Aaron, despite the death of his sons, that he remained silent. So now what does it mean, Dom? Hashkem v'harei v'aleim the Beit HaMidrash. That you should get up early and stay late in the Beit HaMidrash, v'ein kalin me'aleim, and they will go away by themselves. So what does that mean, Hashkem v'harei v'aleim the Beit HaMidrash? So the Tosfos explains that Darish Dom from Dimdumei Chama. That he's saying Darishing Dom from Dimdumei Chama, from the right the rays of the sun, when it's just rising and when it's setting, meaning that you get there super early in the morning and stay late at night. So now it seems from the Tosfos' first pshat is that you should daven. You'll daven to Hashem and He should protect you and He'll take care of it. Tosfos gives an alternative pshat that you go to the Beis Medrash and learn Torah and Hashem will take care of you or get taken care of. The issue will be taken care of it by itself. So that's the suggestion. So Davar Yotza Mipi Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar already gave that suggestion as soon as he said it. Benatnua the Gneva Bekolar, or the Gneva Bekolar. This Gneva, this person who was causing Marukva all these problems, right away he was collared, meaning that Kolar, he's put into a metal collar and taken away by the Malchus, by the government. So it worked, you know, in the sense that as soon as Rav Elazar gave the advice, it worked immediately, and this person was taken away that was bothering Marukva. All right, so now the next Gemara, Sholchulei Lamar Ukva. They sent the question to Mar Ukva. Zimra Minolon de Asir. Song, how do you know that song is Asur? So now, what is Zimra here? Rashi says Zimra is L'shorer Bebeit HaMishtaot. Right, it's to sing in the, you know, the pubs. Or in the, you know, where they were in the festivities. You shouldn't sing. So now, this is a Gemara. It's interesting now. The Gemara is going to have a series of questions, all of which we saw in the last two dapim of Sota. Gemara there darshened all these things, and it's interesting here that you have these questions being asked, despite the fact that we know that they're the Gemaras or the Mishnayot at the end of Sota. So Sirtet v'katev lohu, right? So he wrote back to them, Al tismach Yisrael el gil. Now, my Gemara says here ba'amim, although the pasuk says ka'amim. So. Yeah, I don't know. When I looked up the pasuk, I couldn't believe that it had a chaf instead of a bet here. I don't know if it's just a misprint, but it's also misprinted. Your gemaras also have a beis in there. So Al tismach Israel el gil kamim. Do not rejoice, Israel, like the other nations, right? Like the exulting of the other nations. So meaning that you can't sing and rejoice like the other nations. So the gemara says v'lishlach luhu mehocha. Why didn't he send them this pasuk? Bishir lo yishtu yain, which is actually the pasuk quoting from Yeshayahu in the Mishnah and Sota. The Mishnah and Sota says that after the destruction of the Mikdash, that they no longer had Shir Bebeit HaMishtaot, that Mishnah quotes Bishir Lo Yishtu Yayin. So why didn't they quote that pasuk? So Yemar Shechar L'Shiltav, right, that the intoxicating or the strong liquor will be bitter to its drinkers. Gemara says, Ima Hahu, had I quoted that, Hava Mina Hanimili Zimra Demano. That was only if you used a kli, meaning that if you used some sort of instrument. About the puma, but if it was done just by singing, like some a cappella or just singing, shari, maybe that would be permitted. Kamash malon, that neither are permitted. neither instrumentals nor singing is permitted bebeit ha-mishtaot. So just to classify, the Rashi over here quotes it, and we saw this again in the Gemara in the end of Soto, that's the shorer bebeit ha-mishtaot, to sing in the pubs. Now Tosfos over here quotes Rashi, and he says that it seems to make sense, because that's the Gemara in the end of Soto. Towards the end of the Tosfos, Zimra says 2-4 lines from the bottom of that Tosfos, says, V'ra'ui. Tosfos says, V'ra'yula ha-chmir b'kiyotze. That not only the singing in the Beit HaMishtaot, but even other things, the Ha'u B'Yerushalmi, the V'kayim V'damich B'Zimra, Shemit Aneg B'Yoter. That if a person gets undue pleasure from the singing, meaning that it's considered to be above and beyond what's normal, then that would also, Tosfos suggest, might be Ra'oi L'Hachmir, and not to sing in such a manner. And then we discussed this when we did the Mishnah and Sota, when we did this Daf and Sota, the idea that if the music was done for a person to feel ragua, to feel more calm, right, and to put him at ease, that was fine. But it was done simply for pleasure. Here, Tosfos suggests that maybe Ra'oi L'Achmir, that it's not right. V'shir shel mitzvah shari. But when it comes to a shir of a mitzvah, that is shari. Kigon b'shat chuppah shel simla sameach chatan v'kala. So singing in those contexts, singing in the context of a mitzvah, right, again, or a mitzvah to, as Shaul had asked to mention at the time, to be uplifting, those seem to be shir that's okay. The shir that we definitely know is problematic is the shir bebeit ha-mishtaot. The other shir that Tosfos suggests to be machmir ma'an is that shir that it's not shir shel mitzvah, and not shir that is uplifting, but shir shel tanuk, that is simply great pleasure, not to be meragea, not to calm the person, put them at ease, but rather something that is too much rejoicement in the context of the destruction of the mikdash. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Huna bar Natan Rav Ashi. My dichtiv in Yeshua, when it lists out the cities, it says Vikina, Vidimona, Vadada, describing the cities in Yehuda, and these are three cities that are found in Yehuda. So he says, Rav Natan says, Rav Ashi, what are these cities? What is this list? So Amalei Matvata Eretz Yisrael Kachashiv. I mean, what's the question? They're listing out cities in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Amalei, Ata Anu Lo Yadana De Matvata De Eretz Yisrael Kachashiv. He says, what, you think I don't know that that's what they are, that they're cities in Eretz Yisrael? Ella, Rav Gvia Margiza. This Rav Gvia from Margiza, Amar Bo Taima. He gave a drush on it, a great drush on it. Kol Sheyesh Lo Kina Al Chaveiro. Anyone who has Kina Al Chaveiro. Now here the word Kina is not, in a sense, jealousy, but rather Kina Hu Lashon. Rashi says, Shadam Mit Aber Ariv. He gets angered by something, oh, Ariva Cherim, or gets involved with other people. Meaning that it's, Kina here is either kas, or discomfort, or anger against someone else. Vidomeim, so someone who's angry or upset by the actions of another, or if they had some sort of altercation. Vidomeim, and he remains silent. Shochein Adead Oselodin. The one above will do for him, will take care of him, will take care of his issues. That's the play on the words. You have Kina, right, Dimona from Domeim, and then Adead is the Adada. So he dash in the pasuk. So he says, Amalei, he says back to me, what are you going to do with the next, another pasuk in Yoshua there? It's 9 psukim later, it says, Vitziklag, Umadmana, Vesansana. Hachanami, what type of drush are you going to say? So he says, Amalei, you have a Rav Gvia, mi be argiza hacha. If this Rav Gvia was here, have Amar Bataima, he would have said something, he would have a drush for it. So Rav Acha, mi be choza, Amar ba hachi. He has Rav Asaracha Bechaza said I have something or said something about it. Kol mishieshlo tzaakat legimal chaveiro. Anyone who cries out about legimab over here, right? Legimab means mizonot al chaveiro, meaning that his friend is pressuring him to the point where he's causing him problems, even in making a livelihood, right? Meaning that even in taking away his causing problems for his food. Vidome, and he remains silent. Shochein basne. Oselodin, the one who abode in the snare, the one who was in the snare, will take care of him. And that Hashem will take care of him. So again, the play on the word of Tziklag is Tzakan Legima, and then Domeim from the Madmana, and then Sansana is Shochein Besne. So again, a play on the word instead of a drush. Amalei Reish Galuta the Rav Huna. So Reish Galuta said to Rav Huna, Klila Menoland Asur. How do we know that a Klila is Asur? So what's a klila? So Rashi says klila is atarot chatanim. Right? It's an atarat. Rashi says it's literally a crown. A crown that was put on the chatanim. It's made out of gold or silver. Right? And were colored, and they were drawn on or colored on or pictured on with gafrit v'melach. And there are sometimes that it was made out of vered and hadas. And there were different ways to make these crowns that came to the chatanim. So again, we saw this in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Sota, talked about how they made a gzerah, depending on as the destruction increased, they made more and more gzerot when it came to chuppah and chatanim to remove certain levels of simcha that had to do with the chasna. So here, that's what Rashi says, a klila. Tosfos, on the other hand, describes it not literally as a klila, as a crown. The way Rashi describes it, it's a crown that sat on the head. Tosfos describes it as a kippah. But doesn't mean literally on the head, but that sat above the head of some sort of arch or something that sat above the chatanim. And Tosfos says this is dafka for chatanim and kalot. For a chasan and kalot, these are not permitted. Because we know that in the context of chasan and kalot, where there's a simcha yisera, then we do certain things to show that we still remember the korban. Like we put the ashes on the head of the chasan, we break the glass. Certain things are simonim that we make that even in the context of simcha yisera, that we remember the korban. But stam, if someone wears these items, then that's not a problem. Like we have by Rabbi Akiva on the Gemara and Shabbos that the women used to wear an ear shel zahav. It's that ear shel zahav outside the context of a chuppah or a chasna. That's not problem. I'm sorry? Right. Ear shel zahav. It's called an ear shel zahav, but that's because it had a picture of Yerushalayim on it. So it was called the ear shel zahav. It was some sort of crown or mantle that went on the women. So that's the Tosfos says is permitted because that's not in the context of a chuppah or of simcha yisera. It's only in the context of the chuppah or the simcha yisera that we say remove something because of the churban that took place. So he asks him, where do we know this today? He says, Amalemi derabonon. It's a gzera derabonon. It's none, and they quote the Mishnah from Sota, Bapumo shel aspasianos. Right, in Vespasian, when Vespasian brought his armies to Yerushalayim, they were gazru atarot chatanim v'al irus. Right, that they removed, they said that no longer could you have these atarot chatanim, and ayirus, which was a musical instrument, something either like a tambourine or a bongo drum, something to that effect, that they removed, they didn't allow them to have them in the weddings anymore. Adahachi kam Rav Huna lafnuye. So it sounds like Rav Huna got up in the meantime to go to the bathroom, to go to the washroom. So Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda, who is a Talmid of Rav Huna, was sitting there. So he didn't speak up when Rav Huna was there because it was inappropriate to speak when his Rebbe was there. So when his Rebbe left, Rav Chisda speaks up to the Reish Galuta and says, Kroktiv, it's actually from a pasuk. It says in Yechezkel, Komar Shem Elokim, Hasir Hamitznefet, Vaharim Hatara, Zot Lo Zot, Hashafala Hagbea, Vagvoa Hashpil. So again, the Gemara is going to go through each piece of this pasuk and darshan. The part that we're darshaning right now is Komar Shem Elokim, Hasir Hamitznefet, remove the Mitznefet, and lift off the crown. So now the Gemara says, V'chi ma'inyan mitznefet etel atara. What does the mitznefet have to do with atara? Atara is a crown that belongs to the melech. Mitznefet, right, is the hat of the Kohen Gadol. Elolo marlecha, b'zman shemitznefet b'rosh Kohen Gadol, atara b'rosh kol adam. When the Kohen Gadol is functioning with the mitznefet on his head, then everybody else can have an atara, can have a chatanim. Nistalka mitznefet mirosh kohen gadol. Once the mitznefet is removed from the head of the kohen gadol, nistalka atara mirosh kol adam. Then we remove the atara from the head of any all other people. It's interesting because, again, the gzera here was done in the pumos shel Aspasianos, right, which is Vespasian. We know that Vespasian didn't destroy the Mikdash. I mean, he laid siege to the city, but who says that the Mitznefet HaKohen Gadol was not worn at that point in time? Meaning that he's drawing a parallel between Chorban and the Atara, which is, but it's not literally the Chorban, but the process of the Chorban. And the Marsha says something similar. At the end of Sota, there the Gemara talks about Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, right? That the two brothers from the Hashmonaic dynasty, when they fought, they brought in Rome. Later on, they brought in Rome in order to help them out. And because they brought in Rome, that ended up leading to the destruction of the Mikdash. So therefore, the Marsha points out that since that was the beginning of the process of the Chorban, therefore it created a time period when they made Gzeirot, or they started to worry about the Chorban. So again, over here, even though this pasuk would relate specifically to Chorban, nevertheless, he's applying it to the siege laid by Aspasianos, because that's the beginning of the destruction of the Mikdash. Right, so now, Tosfos also points out here that the difference between a Mikbat and a Mitznefet. Right, a Mitznefet is worn by the Kohen Gadol, whereas a Mikbat is worn by a Kohen Hedyot. So Tosfos says the Mikbat is a bigger hat. The Mitznefet is a smaller hat. Why is that? Because the Mikbat, the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitz. So since he had to wear the tzitz, he only had a smaller area where he could put his Mitznefet. On the other hand, the Kohen Hedyot, Kohen Hedyotim, didn't have a Mitznefet, therefore they could wear a bigger hat, which was called a Mikbat. So when we're talking about a Mitznefet, we're talking over here by the Kohen Gadol. The Reis suggests that maybe there isn't such a difference. And then the last line in Tosfos, you look at the last line in Tosfos over here in the Daf, it's really interesting. It says, "Afilu hayu shavot," even if they're equal, meaning that a Mitznefet and Mikbat are the same. Doesn't matter, Kohen Hedyot, Kohen Gadol. Why does he say Kohen Gadol here? Nakar hacha barosh Kohen Gadol, the face she ain't asur elo lechatanim. We're only asuring a chatan. We're not saying that barosh kol adam means any person, any time, right? As Tosfos said above, kidim afarish, as we explained above, kein kohen gadol shu rosh v'sar b'Yisrael, that he's a head and a minister in Israel. So too the chatan, right, who is, you know, the rosh v'sar, he's that, you know, on that day, he's the special person. That's what it's referring to. So it's comparing Mitznefet, Kohen Gadol, who's unique among the Kohanim, to the Chatan, who's unique among people on that day. And that's the parallel between the Mitznefet and the Atzarah. So now the Gemara... Right. So I was thought it was interesting that he doesn't literally say that. I think he's saying it more in a figurative sense, but I thought of that. So that's why I wanted to show you that line in Tosfos, because it sounds like Tosfos is suggesting that idea that a Chatan is Domel HaMelech, or that he has a special status, that he has a different status. So now the Gemara is going to continue to darshan the pasuk over here. So then the Gemara says, Ad ahachi, at Rav Huna. I'm sorry, first of all, Rav Huna comes back. Ashkechinu dave yotve. He saw that they were sitting and saw what Rav Chista said. Amlei elukim, mit rabbanon. He says, no, I'm telling you, it's only mit rabbanon. Ela chista shmech, or shimcha. Your name is Chista Rav Chista, v'chazdaim milech. And your words are beautiful, you know, Kalena Eva Chasuda, that your words are beautiful. Even though the drush is wrong, because it's not true, it's not midoraisa, or it's not, it's only a gzeirat midorabanon. Nevertheless, you have a nice drusha, but the true drusha has to do with the melech, meaning that the atara over here is talking about the atara of the melech, and the mitznefet is the mitznefet of the Kohen Gadol. And that's what it means, that you remove the mitznefet of the Kohen Gadol and the crown of the king. I'm just pointing out, Rashi says over here that Yechezkel over here is being mitnabeh, shetiva tela kehuna, that the kehuna will be ended, v'yiglet tzidkiyahu begola, and that the king tzidkiyahu will be placed in gola. So it's referring to the heads of Klal Yisrael at that time. Okay. Ravina ashkechei the marba ravashi. Ravina saw marba ravashi dava gadil klila lebrate. He was weaving or tying a crown for his daughter. What about that pasuk? So he says that it's Dumi the Kohen Gadol, that this restriction was only on the men and not on the women. Right, so that's, again, that distinction was drawn also in Sota. In the Sota, we just distinguish between the men and the women. So now, I just point out as an aside, it's interesting here that what is the, when the Gemara says, Helokimi derabanan, what's the opposite approach? Meaning that all he's quoting is a pasuk from Navi. So what is he going to say? It's midivrei kabbalah, meaning that it's a limud mina Navi. Right, it's mysterious. What's the contrast? Right, when Rav Chista says it's midrabanan, and I'm sorry, when Rav Huna says it's midrabanan, as opposed to Rav Chista's drasha from the pasuk, his drasha from the pasuk is from a pasuk in Navi. So, what's the? Is it takanat neviim that he's saying as opposed to rabanan? I mean, usually when you say in the context, derabanan is next to against deoraisa, right? Obviously here it's not deoraisa because it's a pasuk in Navi. So what exactly the status of what the statement of Rav Huna is unclear versus the derabana of Rav Chista versus the derabanan of Rav Huna. I'm just pointing it out in the context. It's just interesting to note how the Gemara has such a contrast. All right, so now the Gemara says, "My zot lo zot." Right, so the pasuk continues after it says, "Kumar Shem Elokim Asir Mitznevet Arim Atara." Zot lo zot, this will not be anymore. What does it mean, this will not be anymore? Darash Rav Avira. Zimna Amalei Mishmei Devrav Ami, Zimna Amalei Mishmei Devrav Asi, sometimes we quote the name of Rav Ami, sometimes the name of Rav Asi, B'shoa Shomar HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael Aser Mitznefer Rehim Atara, Amru Malachei HaShareit Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom, Zot Lahen LeYisrael, this is what Yisrael deserves, Sheikdim Alefanecha B'Sinai Naseh V'Nishma, aren't they your special people? Lahen, Lo Zot Lahen LeYisrael, shouldn't this be for Yisrael? Shishpilu etz hagvoha v'gbiu et hashafel, that they lifted up that which is downtrodden and they lowered that which is up high. V'emidu tzelem v'eichel, and they put a idol into the eichel. So I guess meaning that they diminished the covet of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they uplifted the tzelem, they placed it in the eichel. So the malachim or the malachim asherit, they're standing in defense of Klal Yisrael saying, Zot, is this really what they deserve? And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Zot, this is not what they deserve for what they did. So Dorash Avira, Avira, Zimna Amalei Mishmei Dervami, Zimna Amalei Mishmei Dervasi, again another drasha from Avira, Ma'idichtiv, where does it say in Nochum, when it says, Ko Amar Hashem, Im Shlemim, V'chein Rabim, V'chein Nagozu V'avar. Right, so Hashem says, Im Shlemim, if they're whole, V'chein Rabim, if they're many, V'chein Nagozu, if they're cut off V'avar and it passed. So the Gemara says, Imro Adam Shemizonotav Mitzum Tzamim. Person sees that his zonot are just what he needs, when he doesn't have enough. They just yasemem mitztaka. He should do tztaka with them. V'choshukain chain merubim. And certainly when he has a lot. So that's what it means. Komar Hashem im shlemim. Shlemim means shalem from the word shalem, but shlemim means that just enough. V'chein rabim means even if you have more than enough. So then the Gemara says my v'chein nagozu v'avar. What does that mean? Tanabar Yishmael kolak gozeiz min echasav. Anyone who cuts off shears from his possessions, Vosim and Tzedakah, does Tzedakah with them, Nitzal Midina Shel Gehinnom, he will be protected from the din of Gehinnom. So that's what it means. V'chein Nagozu, the ones who cut, who shear themselves, mean that they vest their possessions to Tzedakah V'Avar, right, that they will be protected from the Dina Shel Gehinnom. So now, Mashal L'Shtei Rechelot, it's like two sheep, that or two ewes, Shayu of Rot B'mayim, they were crossing a river. Achat Gzuza, one of them was sheared. V'achat Einu Gzuza, one of them was laden. Gzuza Avra, the one who was sheared was able to cross the river because he didn't get weighed down by the water. Shayna Gzuza, Lo Avra, was unable to because he got weighed down by the water. So through here, person divests obsessions, gives it away to Tzedakah, right, then that will protect him and take care of him. Now the pasuk from Nochum continues. V'initich. And those that are oppressed, Amar Mazutra Afilu Aniya Mitpranes Min Atztaka Yaset Tztaka. Even those that meaning that here the Gemara seems to be dashing Ve'ini Tich, means that the way the pasuk goes so far is Komar Shem Im Shleimim V'chein Rabim, right? Whether you have just enough or more than enough, V'chein Agozu, you should make sure to slice it off, right? V'avar, and that will protect you. Then the pasuk Ve'ini Tich, and same with those that are afflicted. What does that mean? Afilu ani mitpranes mitztaka, even ani who gets fed from tztaka should also give tztaka. Right now, the way the pasuk really reads is v'initech lo aaneich od. Right, those that are oppressed, I will not oppress anymore. Tani Rav Yosef shuv ein marlin lo simenei aniut. That if a person who is oppressed, one who's an ani and gives tztaka, will no longer see the simenei aniut. Because he has done the meaning that initech lo yanech od, if he does gazuz, meaning if he gives to tztakah. All right, so now the Gemara continues with what we had in our Mishnah, where the borders of Eretz Yisrael were defined. Right, we had Rekem le Mizrach, we had Akol le Tzafon, and Ashkelon le Darom. So now the Gemara is going to challenge this issue that Rabbi Yehuda mentions Akol le Tzafon. So the Gemara says, Lememra, the Akol le Tzafon of Eretz Yisrael, Kaimo. That Akko is found at the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael. Viraminu, is that really true? Hayam Halech Miako L'Ksiv. Someone is walking from Akko to Ksiv. Mimino L'Mizrach, on his right side, which is the east. So if you're walking and your right side is the east, which direction are you walking? You're walking northward, right? When you're walking north, east is to your right and west is to your left. So therefore here, a person is walking northward. So he's walking from Akko to Kziv. Right? So he's walking northward. Mimi no lemizrach. On his right side, which is the east, haderech tmeya mishum eretz ha'amim. That which is to his right is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the land is tmeya because eretz ha'amim. Uptura min ha'maseru min ha'shvit. And obviously it doesn't have kedushat ha'aretz, so it doesn't have maisus and shvis. Achi vadalecha shihi chayevet. Unless someone tells you otherwise. I mean, anything to the right, even if the path turns, unless you have a Talmud Chacham or a Baki over there who tells you otherwise, then assume anything to the right of this Mesila, this path, is considered Chutz La'aretz. Mismolo, on your left side, Lima'arav, which is to the west, Aderach Torah, Mishum Eretz Amim, then all the land there is Tahor because it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael. V'chayevet b'maser u'bishvit, and your chayev in Maser and Shvit, Aishi v'dada chashi p'tura, unless someone tells you otherwise that you are patur. So ad heichan, until how far do you go? Ad ksiv, until ksiv. Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, ad livlevo. So the point of livlevo. So what do you see from this braisa that we just quoted? From the braisa we quoted, you see that ksiv, which is north of Akko, is still considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Because you said that which is to the right is outside of Eretz Yisrael, but that which is to the left is inside of Eretz Yisrael. So how could Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah suggest that Akko Tzafon is the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael? All right, I'll raise some issues with you here. The first issue, where is Akko? Akko is on the coast, right, on the western coast of Eretz Yisrael. Right, it's a coast town. So now when you say to me what's on the right and what's on the left, right, what exactly is on the right and the left over here? Everything to the left is in the Mediterranean, right? I mean, anything to the west is in the Mediterranean. Anything to the right is inside of Eretz Yisrael, or, you know, northern part of Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean? So there are two approaches to deal with this here. Rashi says something which is unusual or amazing. Look at this. Rashi says over here, if you look in the Rashi, it's the third wide line in Rashi. Mimi no lebizrach haderech. Hashto mashmo lecha da'aku kayama bigvul misracha shel Eretz Yisrael. That Akko is on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Mashoch mimiktzat tzvonit, pulled down from the northernmost point, yomo yomayim, a day or two. Tzad adarom, uchziv mikzat mizrachat tzvonit. Chziv is the northeastern point or top of Eretz Yisrael. And Akko is south of there. So it's on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, everything that's on the mizrach, on the eastern part from there, is, right, is chutz la'aretz. And everything that's the west of that is inside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning basically it looks like almost like Avar Yardain versus Yardain. That's, the western side of the Jordan versus the eastern side of the Jordan, according to Rashi. Which is obviously very difficult because we know that Akko is on the western side. So the Gra over here has a different gear. So if you look, I don't know if you guys can see it. There's an Aleph in the Gemara there. It goes to Gra. My Gemara, it's on the left side. I don't know where you have your Hagosa Gra. The Gra brings a different Girsa from the Tosefta in the Yerushalmi. He says, Mimino lemizracha derech tehora, lemarava derech tmeya. That to the east is Tahor, and is Eretz Yisrael, and to the west is Chutz La'aretz. Why? He says, Akoch tau sofer b'gemara. Our Gemara has a mistake. Ki Akko v'chsiv b'maravohein are on the western side of Eretz Yisrael. So if they're on the western side of Eretz Yisrael, if you say that which is the east of them is part of Eretz Yisrael, that which is the west of them is not part of Eretz Yisrael, that makes sense. But how could you suggest that if they're on the western half, that east of them is not Eretz Yisrael? Now you're going to ask me, oh, so again, the question I asked before, if they're on the coast, then what's to the west of their lines? So I think what you have to suggest is that Akko was on the coast, but Chziv could be inland a little bit. So if you go from Chziv to Akko, then you still have a portion that's to the west of it. Right, that will be considered Chutz La'aretz, and that which is the east will be considered a part of Eretz Yisrael. Right, so anyway, that's the Girsa of the Gra versus that Rashi. Rashi deals with the problem by saying Akko is on the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. The Gra says, no, we have the Girsa of the Tosefta and Yerushalmi, which suggests they switch around, that the east is Eretz Yisrael and the west is not Eretz Yisrael, and that makes more sense now because Akko is on the west, and that would make a lot more sense. Right, so now the Gemara says, all right, so now what do we do with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says Akko is the northernmost point. What are you going to do with this issue that we now have Chziv, which is north of there? So, Amar Abaye, Ritzua Nafka. There was a strip that went out. So the Gemara's a strip. You see in Rashi, you know what it means, that there's a strip that goes out. Rashi says, you know, you'd have to turn your Gemara on its side, right? Rashi has Marav at the top, but if you turn your Gemara on the side where its Tzafon is up to the top, I did, but I can read it again. They said, Ad Heichan, no problem. And they said, how far north do we go? Ad Chziv, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Mishamavir, Ad Livlevo, or until Livlevo, that far north. I mean, that's how far this Mesila, this path that has this eastern and western division, goes as far as Livlevo. So Rabbi Ritzua Nafko, there's a strip that goes out. So Gemara, if you look in Rashi, the picture in Rashi, if you turn your Gemara on its side and you hold its Tzafon up to the top, right, then you can see that Tzafon is north. Eretz Yisrael, he says, is a square. And then at the top of Eretz Yisrael, you see that you have this Akko, and then Chsiv is a strip going north that are a still part of Eretz Yisrael. Again, this is Rashi Lashitato, that Akko and Chsiv are found on the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. So it's like, according to this, the way Rashi has it, my brother pointed out, it's like the Etzba HaGalil, right, that sticks out up on the top of Eretz Yisrael. It's the same type of thing you have here. So Gemara questions, Vayiv Tana Simana Hochi? So does a Tana give such a Siman? So what does it mean, Yayiv Tana Siman Hochi? So Rashi says, the problem is, so what, Mi Chashiv Tana Chad Ritzua? Latuchi Tana Siman Allah? Would a Tana go out of his way to put such effort into explaining a Siman about a little strip? I mean, that it's a small area. It's not, why would the Tana go out of his way to give such a Siman? Tosus, on the other hand, says, no, that's not the issue. The question over here is that they're asking on the Braisa, why would he use, when you're talking about a pathway, who talks about east of the path or west of a path? A path is a small area. It's a small strip. So when you talk about something about a path, you say to the right of the path or to the left of the path. You don't say east of the path and west of the path. East and west are suggesting that there's a bigger area, and you're talking about east of that area and west of that area. So would a Tana use east and west in the context of a Mesila? So Gemara says, well, you know what, they do. So Gemara says, in, yes, Kra Nami Av Simana. The Pasuk also uses such a Siman when it came to a Mesila, Dichtiv. Vayomer, so this is by Pilegish Begiva, when the Shvatim wanted to figure out how they could get, even though they had taken a Shavua that they would not give their children, they would not marry into Binyamin, they wanted to figure out how to get to the Anashim of Binyamin to come out to marry their daughter. So they're giving instructions to Binyamin where to come to find the party. Right, so they could find women. So it says, Hine Chag Hashem b'Shiloh. The party will be, or the celebration will be in Shiloh. Miyamim Yamima, right, like every year. Asher Mitzvona LeBeit El, which is north of Beit El. Mizracha Shemesh LeMisila Ola MiBeit El Shchema. Right, that it's east of the path that goes from Beit El to Shchem. Umi Negev LeLevona, and south of Levona. Papa, when it says Lamizracha, it means Lamizracha Shel Misila. It means east. It means east of the path. So that's where they were going. They were going east to Shiloh, which is east of the path, which is south of Levona, but north of Beit El. And you have a picture in Rashi that shows you that. If you have Beit El, north of Beit El is Shiloh. North of Shiloh is Levona. And to your west, which would make the then Shiloh east of the path, right, is to the west of Shiloh, to the left of Shiloh. So you see that the Pasuk used, according to Rashi, the Pasuk uses Mesila as a demarcation. So you see that even the Pasuk uses something as small as or as insignificant as a Mesila, as a Siman, and therefore so too did this Tana, or according to Tosfos, it means, right, that the term Mizrach is used even by Mesila. Even though we're talking about a path or a strip, it still says it Mizracha to the east of it. So too over here. So Mar says, Tani Chado, I maybe get. All right, that's the end of this sugya. It's a new sugya. Tani chada, maybe get misvina k'mevi b'Eretz Yisrael. Person brings a get on a boat. Rashi suggests that the boat here is in the rivers of Eretz Yisrael. It's as if he brought it from Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he does not have to say b'fanei nechtav u'fanei nechtam. But tani idach, if an alternative braisa that says k'mevi b'chutz l'aretz, that a boat that is on the rivers of Eretz Yisrael is considered as if it's coming from chutz l'aretz. So Amar Rav Yirmiya Lokasha. That's not a problem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, HaRabbanan. These two braitot are authored by different people. One by Rabbi Yehuda, one by the Rabbanan. It's not. We have a Mishnah on Chala. Ofar chutz la'aretz haba b'sfina la'aretz. There's dirt that was brought from Chutz La'aretz in a boat, and they planted in that dirt inside of the boat. Chayav b'maseru shvi'it. You're chayav to bring maisus and shvi'is if this boat's found in Eretz Yisrael now. Am Rabbi Yehuda, eimatai. When do we say this? Bizman shesvina gosheshet. When you've run the boat aground, meaning that the boat is stuck in the mud. Well, in a svina gosheshet, if the boat is not capsized on the dirt, then that's not the case. Patur means patur. So first of all, I'll just point out here, it's clear from here, from the way the Gemara is learning it right now, that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on the Tana Kama. Meaning that the fact that you say that one position is Rabban and one position is Rabbi Yehuda, right, it suggests that they're arguing. I would have, had I read this Mishnah simply, I would have said, what? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eimatai, is qualifying, right? He's qualifying the statement of the Tana Kama. And truthfully, we've seen other places that even the, there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Shuben Levi, and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that every time that Rabbi Yehuda is found when he says Bameh, or he says Eimatai, is he coming to qualify the statement or argue? So they actually argue about Bameh, they argue about Bameh, but everybody agrees Eimatai is Lefaresh, to explain it. So if Eimatai is to explain it, then why are you suggesting here that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing? So Tosfos actually suggests over here that this is the position of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah believes that even Eimatai by Rabbi Yehuda is not a qualification, but rather he's coming lachlok to argue on it. And the Tosfos gives an alternative explanation that that principle that's set up by Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuben Levi is only by Mishnayos, not by Braithot. And over here he says that this Mishnah we're quoting over here is not really a Mishnah. It's a Detanya, it's a Braisa. Because the Mishnah in Challah does not have everything that's found in here. The Mishnah in Challah is actually missing a portion of what is written in over here about Eina Svina Gosheshet Tura. That last line that's found in our Brice over here is not found in the Mishnah in Challah. And therefore, Tosu says it's a Brice and not a Mishnah. So in a Brice, we don't say Eimatai is qualifying, but rather arguing. So based on that argument, Rabbi Yehuda, you see from Rabbi Yehuda that a boat with dirt from Chutz La'aretz is considered Chutz La'aretz unless it's, you know, brought aground. Whereas the Chachamim believe that a boat is considered as if you are in Eretz Yisrael. So they're the same thing by a get. So just like the Tana Kama says that the dirt in the boat is Chayev B'Maser and Shviz, it's part of like Eretz Yisrael, so too it'll be part of Eretz Yisrael for a Gittin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when it's floating on the water, it's not part of it. That's the same over here by Gittin. It'll be considered like Chutz La'aretz. So by Amar, by Yehuda says, Hava Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of both of the Braita that we said above. He, Velo Kasha, Kam Bizman Shein Esfino Gosheshet, Kam Bizman Esfino Gosheshet. You just have to differentiate between whether the boat is, right, run aground or not. And that'll make a difference whether it's part of Eretz Yisrael or not. And that's how I explain the two Braita by Gittin. So Amar Rabbi Zeiro. Otzitz nokuf, right? You have a planter or a pot that has a hole in it. Hamunacha gabe yitzedot. It's not sitting on the ground, but it's sitting up on, right, some sort of pillars or support that keeps it above the ground. Banu l'machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. This should be the same as machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. When you're in the airspace of Eretz Yisrael and not on the ground of Eretz Yisrael, do you have a status of Eretz Yisrael? So according to the Tana Kama, the Rabbanan, yes, that has a status of itself. So too, when you're in the Sfino, when you're in the boats, you're part of Eretz Yisrael. And so too over here, when you have a pot with a hole in it, you're inside of your Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says over there, only when you're actually on the ground physically are you considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. So too over here, it'll be separated, won't be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Rava, Dilmalohi, Rava says to Rabbi Zeir, why do you have to draw such a conclusion? How do you know to draw a conclusion? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda ata mele b'sfino. That over there, Rabbi Yehuda only says that it's not considered part of Eretz Yisrael when you're in a boat. Why? Because a besvina asuya livroach. A boat always moves. It's always moving around. Aval otzin sheno asuya livroach. But a pot that's sitting up there doesn't move. If it doesn't move around, lo. And therefore, it'll be considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you can't necessarily extrapolate from the case of svina to the case of atzitz. And the same thing the other way. Inami ad kan lo kamei rabbanan ata mele b'sfina over there by the boat lo mafsik avira demai since there's no space airspace between the boat and the land of Israel, why see it lo mafsik avira demaya ki aras michoto damyo, because there's no airspace at the end, because water is like ground. So the boat is really sitting on the ground of Eretz Yisrael because it's sitting on the water, and the water is part of Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael has airspace between it and the ground. So maybe that should not be considered possible. And lo, then it would not be the case. That's what Rav argues. I will stop here. I'll just point out here that there's actually an interesting machlokas between Rashi. Rashi said the boat we're talking about here is a boat made out of cheres, made out of clay. And the pot we're talking about over here is a wooden pot. That's what Tosfos brings, and Tosfos actually points out here that Rashi, there's a riot to Rashi's position from the Gemara in Menachos. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi's and says it's truthfully, it's just the opposite. That the boat was made out of wood, and that the cheres, the pot, was made of cheres. Why? So Rabbeinu Tam gives a reason. Because wood is more porous. So therefore, you don't have to actually put a hole in the wood for it to have air or water or the land dirt to get through it. Whereas kli cheres is a less porous material, and therefore you would have to put a hole in the cheres to make it right part of the land. That's the position of Rabbeinu Tam, as opposed to the position of Rashi over here. Okay, well, we'll stop here. I'll be able to give the shiur on...